Welcome to the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballester Howells. Live every Sunday from 10 a.m. to noon on 95.1 WOLD, home of New Jersey's greatest hits. You can call Peggy now with your gardening questions at 908-448-0951. That number again is 908-448-0951. Now here's your host, Peggy Ballester Howells.
Peggy Ballester Howells, and I'm here on the All New Garden Show with my wingman,
Jordan Vitale.
So the sun is out, thank goodness.
I know, I haven't seen him in days.
I know, and I was trying so hard to get the potatoes in. You cannot plant potatoes in the mud. I'm sorry, that doesn't work. You try to get the compost out of the compost pile, you pick up the shovel, and it's like the compost has become glue.
Yeah, no, it gets really heavy, really sticky, not fun to work with, not fun to shovel.
No, and it gets on you.
Yeah.
It gets on you.
And it stays.
You can't get it off. I tried. So I gave up on the potatoes, but we're going to do that. Jordan's going to come tomorrow and help me, right? We're going to get the potatoes in tomorrow,
Exciting,
right?
Exciting, yes.
Okay, oh, please.
I've got to do it.
I got to get the potatoes in. So what I did instead, I put on my chicken boots. You know, because you can't wear sneakers or work shoes when everything's muddy.
Right.
But my chicken boots are like rubber boots.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, and they're just rubber, and you can't, like, dig with them because they're not sturdy enough. But if you're just tramping around in the wet, they're good.
They're perfect.
They're perfect. So I put on my chicken boots and made my chickens happy. They like them. And then we, Tommy was putting up a new fence, and I was cutting down the perennial sunflowers.
Right.
The perennial sunflowers are amazing plants, and they're not what people expect, and they're not very well known. Now, Bob from Piscataway last year, he dug up a few, and he took them home. So maybe give us a call.
I hope so.
And tell us how his did. Oh, and I should tell a number in case anybody else wants to call, which is 908-448-0951. It's that tricky thing that they do. The 95-1 is like on the dial. It's so cute. So cute.
I know, it's adorable.
So I decided that I could cut down the gigantic perennial sunflowers. How tall do you say they get?
Like 10 probably feet? At least 8, if not 10 feet.
Yeah,
they
some
are
of them
tall.
Yeah, they get really tall. And they are Helianthus maximilii, as opposed to other perennial sunflowers. And you can also find them in their more common name, Maximilian sunflowers. I grew mine from seed. And a couple years ago, this has been going on for a couple years now. And they're so amazing because they get 4 feet tall. 4 feet tall? Wasn't that the kind, you know, in the spring they kind of grow, shoot right up. And they look a little like bamboo or a little bamboo-y because they have lots of shoots and they're very tall and they're very straight. And they get about 4 feet tall and then they stop growing and they just sit there for the whole summer at 4 feet tall.
Right.
But they cover the ugly...
Oh, the chain link fence.
They cover the chain link fence is on top of a cinder block wall, which is really butt ugly, but it's there. And so the plants with the foliage and the stems cover the ugly cinder block wall completely. And then the magic happens in September, somewhere right early September, maybe middle September. They double in height.
It's the craziest thing.
It's amazing. I mean, they really double in height, and they grow straight up, so they're like 8 to 10 feet tall. And the new shoots from the top of where they were just leaves up are very somewhat delicate stems, but dramatic, and they wave in the breeze, and they blow, and every 6 or 8 inches is a 2-inch brilliant yellow flower. And they get really tall, and they do. They blow in the wind, and they look so beautiful.
Yeah.
And they will flower straight through to a hard frost.
Right. They're incredible, and I can't imagine using them as a cut flower. That would just be
Oh, you could just cut 6 branches and stick them in a vase, and you've got, you know.
A whole bouquet.
A whole bouquet, like drama in the dining room right there. So, and they do spread. And they can spread more than you want, which is why it's a good idea to keep a bed just for them.
Yeah, they're really prolific.
They're really prolific. And the mowing man, he comes and mows, and he can mow right up to the little fence, and that way it keeps it under control. And
right.
they can just spread as much as they want in that bed, and they're not going to go beyond the cinder block wall.
Mm-hmm.
So they just look dramatic, and they're contained. And they transplant pretty easily, so... If people come to the plant exchange and want a couple, we can probably dig them up because they'll be up at that point, but not huge.
Right. So it will be a good time.
And they're very thick, so mm-hmm. I don't mind thinning them out a little bit if people want them. But cutting them down is no small task.
Right.
There's hundreds of them in there, mm-hmm. and they're all 12 feet tall. So you have to cut them and, like, drag them out and fight with them to get them out and make a pile. But I got halfway through, and that was a really good job to do in the wet because they were bone dry themselves, and I was able to make a pile, and that was a big job. I have half more to go, but it felt very satisfying. At least I didn't waste the wet, soggy days.
Exactly. And also, like, even to get halfway through that bed is just a feat of itself.
It was
probably, like, 15 feet long that you have of those sunflowers planted, right?
15?
Yeah.
Like, I think it's more like 35.
Oh.
It's pretty long. It's a pretty long bed. Yeah. And I think they're going to do better this year, but not for a great reason. The drought last year was significant, and I tried to water everything, but I have so many relatively newly planted plants there since we haven't been there that long, and I've been adding every mm-hmm. year, that we lost one of my pine trees. It was one of the first things I planted, and I thought it was established enough that I didn't need to water it intensely,
mm-hmm.
but it gave up the ghost.
It's a
columnar white pine, which is a great tree, gets tall, grows straight up, and that was planted specifically to hide the chain link fence.
Right.
On the other side of the chain link fence is a parking lot, so there's cars, but they since have put up this green... What would we call it? Like a backing? Yeah, something that's attached to the chain link fence.
Yeah, and it makes it look more solid.
It makes it look solid and unfortunately blocks the light for the sunflowers, which I thought originally would get sun from both sides.
Right.
But now they only get from one side. But the columnar white pine was there specifically to block all that, and now it's dead. But now that it's gone, we're going to cut it down. And so the sunflowers will get more sun, so they'll be even more dramatic in that stretch than they were. We need to find a replacement.
We do.
We'll go see Mel.
Yeah, let's go see Mel.
Yeah, I don't know about today, but in the next couple weeks, we'll go and we'll see Mel and see what she's got. Or maybe we'll go and see Mike at Mike's Country Market. We can maybe do that.
He might have something good.
He might have something good. So we need to find something interesting to replace it with. But I have a plan.
Yes?
I have a plan. It's a little bit of a scary plan.
How so?
Well, I want to cut it down.
Yeah.
You know, I want to get out either my reciprocating saw.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, as you know, my favorite tool.
Mm-hmm.
Get in there and cut it down.
It does everything.
It does. It's great. Or maybe it's big enough that we need to, you know, break out the big guns and get the chainsaw out.
Maybe.
It's pretty thick.
Yeah.
So in any event, I want to cut it down. But it's very tall. And I was looking at it very closely yesterday the other day when I was cutting down the perennial sunflowers. I want it to be my new dead tree.
Yes.
It'll be perfect, right?
It will.
So it kind of has multiple trunks. kind of branches, but it stays very narrow because it's columnar, and that's what that means. If you have a columnar variety, the branches tend to grow up, so it stays narrow. So what I want to do is cut it off at the base. It's very tall. It's taller than any of the other dead trees that I have. And I want to install it next to one of the dead trees that I have.
Right.
And cut all the branches, but I want to keep it sort of fan-shaped as opposed to just straight and narrow.
Oh.
I think that'll make a better trellis.
Yeah. But do you want to tell, I'm sure everybody knows that, oh, all of our listeners that have been with us through the years, they know that you're growing kiwi vine on the other dead trees. You're using them as a trellis.
Yes.
Yes.
They make really cool trellises, dead trees.
Yeah.
And the kiwis are doing great, and it swallowed one of the dead trees. I mean, it's completely taken over dead tree number one, which is like 8 feet tall. I mean, we're not talking like a little tiny, you know, shrubby thing. We're talking about an 8 foot tall dead tree that is been installed in one of those, what do you call those things? They're square and they have a big giant pointy thing on the bottom and you use them to put your mailbox in. That's how they're installed.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's how we decided to install them.
That's smart.
Yes, and then we put some stakes in as well to help, but we took those big pointy things for mailboxes and we were able to put the trunk of the dead trees in them. And it's got to be 10 feet tall.
Yeah. So,
and it's completely covered. And now the vines are reaching out like they're going to try to grab you and strangle you.
So give them another tree to grab.
They need another tree.
They need a hand to hold.
So I was thinking, I would go on air like I did last time and say, I need a dead tree. You know, and I was like, I have my own dead tree. So even though it's a dead tree, which makes me sad.
Yes.
It makes me very happy that we're going to have our own dead tree and we're going to be able to customize it.
Right.
So I think that'll work. I think that'll
too.
Be good.
Make
and we'll
it
shape
useful.
It. Yeah. And we'll put it in. I want to put it right next to the other dead tree.
Yes.
And I think that'll work really well.
I do too.
And so kiwis require boys and girls.
Mm-hmm.
And the boy kiwi is the smallest because little Coosa dogwood peed on it when it was just a baby plant and killed it. And so I had to wait another year before. He killed it in the middle of the summer, so
right.
I had to wait till following spring to replace it. And so it got replaced last year, but it's just a fraction because the two females had a whole year to get established, and last year they just took off.
Right.
And it was the first year for the little male kiwi, because you have to have the boy parts and the girl parts, and they're on separate plants. Not all plants are like that. Hollies are like that. People may be familiar that you have to have a male holly if you want to get the red berries on the female holly. It's like that, so you have to have a male and a female, and you only need one male, sort of like roosters.
Right.
You only need one rooster for 26 hens, but it's sort of like that. So I only have one male. And I've got these two females that are just, like, going crazy.
I know. In the last 2 years, like, since I've known you, I think you've had them. But they were teeny tiny things. And now they're just massive.
Yeah, they are massive. And they did not suffer in the drought, they seem to be. But maybe if the boy cooperates, which he may or may not this year, if the boy cooperates, it's a possibility that those females are mature enough that we might actually get kiwis this year.
That's so exciting.
It is exciting. Have you ever had a hardy kiwi?
I haven't. I've only seen pictures, but
they taste just like kiwis, like the ones that you get, like the fuzzy ones that come from a more tropical environment. They taste just like that, and they look like that, only they're the size of Thompson seedless grapes. But they taste the same. They're really, really yummy. So I'm hoping that we will, if not this year, then next year for sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me give the phone number again. It's 908-448-0951. And we do have three open lines here. So if you're thinking about calling, I know last week people had a lot of trouble getting through. We had so many calls. So if you're thinking about calling, now would be a good time to call. But before we talk more about gardening, I do have something that I really want to say. I think this is important. We're a Central Jersey radio station, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is what we are. We're Central Jersey. And I have sports is not my favorite thing.
Right.
Especially since what happened at my other station that makes it even less my favorite thing. But there are some sports that I like more than other sports.
Correct.
I like sports that don't hurt people. I'm really not into wrestling. I watched my son wrestle on the wrestling team in high school one time. I never went back.
I couldn't do it.
I didn't like him watching my son be turned into a pretzel. It just seemed like an inappropriate thing to happen to a child you love to watch. Football, forget it. We've talked about that. Boxing, forget it. But basketball is a sport I can get behind. And while I don't want to dwell on it and I don't want this to become anything remotely similar to a sports show, are Central Jersey collegiate basketball teams deserve some recognition?
They absolutely do. They crushed it.
They did. And even if they didn't go all the way to the end and win, you have to recognize and appreciate that you take what you've got and you do the best you can with it in all aspects of life. And we had three college basketball teams that went above and beyond and deserve to be appreciated. And a little round of applause, yes. So the Princeton men's basketball team got to the Sweet 16, which was great. They didn't get too far in that, but they got to it, which was a first in many, many years, maybe if ever. So kudos to them. The female team did not get to the Sweet 16, but they did really well and beat some better-seeded teams in order to get as far as they did.
Right.
And that deserves recognition. And Fairleigh Dickinson, and I never thought of either Fairleigh Dickinson or Princeton as great sports schools, so, you know, academia there for sure. But Fairleigh Dickinson did this thing that they were seeded 16 and they beat the number one seeded team. That's amazing!
Right.
I mean, I don't really care about basketball, but it doesn't matter what we were talking about. For the underdog to come up and do that well and exceed expectations, good for them. And
absolutely.
And if they take that same attitude with them in life, in every other aspect of life, to do the best they can and not worry about the odds and just give it your all, they'll all succeed. And
right.
So I just wanted to say that, and I thought that was kind of important, that little recognition. Okay, so we are going to go to the phones, and we're going to say good morning to Mr. President, Rike Sudam. Hey, how you doing, Rike?
Good morning, Peg. I'm good. Hey, I've been jumping in and out of the truck. So earlier in the show, you were talking about sunflowers.
Yes.
And is it too early for me to fertilize my perennial sunflowers?
We were talking about those perennial sunflowers, and no, it's not. Everything's going to start popping up and getting a little fertilizer on them now, and then maybe mulching them before the new growth comes up would be perfect.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't done that before, so I will fertilize and then wait for them to come up and then mulch?
No.
Or mulch them now?
You should mulch them now so that you don't have to worry about getting the mulch in and out and between all the little stems. That is a royal pain in a certain part of one's anatomy. You don't
okay,
want to have to do that.
Okay, got it. And one other thing is, just before I called, you were talking about dead trees.
Yes.
Are you making dead trees chic?
Yes. Oh, in many ways. In many ways, I'm making dead trees chic. Certainly using them as trellises, because you can shape them, and they have a natural look in the yard when you use them as a trellis. And you could do them flat up against a fence and then have something grow up it like that. Or mine are freestanding in place. But the other thing is that I painted my Christmas tree purple. I spray painted it purple.
Oh, Peg.
What? You think they're... What is wrong with that?
Tradition.
No. I only spray painted it after Christmas.
Oh. Okay.
So, right. Okay.
All right, so now it's purple?
Yes, now it's purple. It's on my front porch, purple. Looks very cool. And
how long is it?
Well, see, that's the whole thing. There is a Christmas tree grower in northwest New Jersey, way up in the corner, that spray paints them any color you want and sells them so that you can have a color-coordinated Christmas tree. Now,
yeah, I've seen those.
Right. I don't need a color-coordinated Christmas tree. Actually, green is very color-coordinated with my motif, so that works out fine for me. But Here's the idea I came up with, and I thought this was a really good idea, and I talked to Jack about this, and he's very intrigued. If you had trees that were in your Christmas tree field, and they were starting to go brown just a little bit, and you knew that they weren't going to make it, and you spray painted them at that point and gave them a really heavy coat of spray paint, it would hold the needles on. I mean, using clear spray paint is something that's you use with dried flowers to keep them intact. It's just a technique. Yep. So if you spray painted them a color and it would keep the needles on, then they would become possibly a marketable item instead of wasting 6 or 7 years of Christmas tree growth before you can sell it. You've now spray painted it. It'll hold up in the field and you can sell it as a colored Christmas tree.
Okay.
It's an idea.
Yes.
So,
and there's people out there. There's people out there that'll think that's wonderful. I'm just not one of them.
But you must, as president of Farm Bureau or past president of Farm Bureau, and a farmer that's been farming in multiple generations over 300 years in the same place, you can appreciate that saving a tree that you've invested 7 years in and keeping it marketable is an idea that would benefit the farmer in a way that.
Yeah.
That they would lose money otherwise. So,
no, I can't disagree. It's just going to take me a little while to absorb that, okay?
So right after Christmas, I took my tree outside, and Jordan and I, we got covered in spray paint, let me tell you. We had masks on. We did everything we were supposed to, but it takes a lot of cans of spray paint. Obviously, I wouldn't recommend a farmer using cans of spray paint. You'd put it in one of those complicated spray things, yeah, and spray it like that. But we didn't have that, and so we tried it. And we're going to see how long it lasts. That's the idea.
Right, and it still looks like the first day we spray painted it.
It does. It looks great. It looks great. And so we're going to see. It was an experiment to see if once you spray paint it, if it will last 6 months, 8 months, a year, to see how long. Because the stuff that you spray inside lasts indefinitely, but it's not exposed to the elements. So this was a trial. So I do have a purple Christmas tree on my porch on my purple house, and it looks very cool. And for the plant exchange this year, we're going to take it out back, and we're going to put it in the middle of the yard, and we're going to tell people that they can bring things to hang on it. Just
exactly.
For fun. Just for, you know, giggles. So, and then we'll see once it's in the yard will be a better example of what would happen if a farmer had a Christmas tree that was dying in the spring and you spray painted it, if it would hold up all the way to Christmas to sell. So it's a small experiment, but I think worthwhile. So I'll keep you posted on that.
No, I appreciate that. I like new ideas. See how they hold up.
So we'll see how they hold up. And also, I was thinking of you. Yes. I need straw. I need straw. You have the best straw. And I need to come
get
it.
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do. You don't really think that there's a lot of different levels of straw until you deal with straw that's yucky. And then you know that good straw is so much nicer to work with and looks so much better and fresher and cleaner. So I need to come get straw. So if I wanted to come get straw from you, you want to tell everybody where your straw is?
Well, yeah, we're talking about Sudam Farms. I'm in Somerset. You can always reach us at sudamfarms.com. And, yes, we produce a couple different kinds of straw, rye or wheat straw, and we raise a lot of hay for horses and sheep and cows and goats. And we're on the weekends. You're always here on the weekends. So you can always find us at sudamfarms.com.
Okay. You want to? Can you share? Because we have a new listening audience. I'm sure a lot of people that are listening are part of our long-standing listening audience, but we have new listeners too. Can you tell people a little bit about the cool history of your farm, just like a quick little synopsis? Because your farm is super cool and has some unique characteristics.
Okay, I'll try to keep it short. My family came from Holland in 1663, and they landed in Brooklyn, and they farmed in Brooklyn for 50 years, and then they moved to the wilderness. One part of the family moved to the wilderness of Somerset County, and we've been in the same place ever since. Our farm has evolved a lot over 300 years. That's how you stay in business, is evolving with the markets and your neighbors and what's needed, and we've gone through several evolutions. We're not milking cows anymore, but we are still raising feed for other people's animals, and hay is a big part of that. And we also took my big greenhouse, and we do weddings at beautiful Sedam Farms in Somerset. So
okay.
Take a look at our website, and
okay, I want to hear this one other part. You got to tell the one other part. This is my favorite part, and you left it out. About how the farmer married the girl next door and the two farms. That's the best part. Come on, you got to tell that part.
Okay, my great-grandfather, Matthew Sedam, lived in the house that I live in now. And next door was my great-grandmother as a little girl. She grew up on the Skillman farm, which was immediately next door. And my great-grandfather married the girl next door. And it became one big farm. They joined together. So I get to farm on both of those farms because my great-grandfather fell in love with the girl next door.
That's a great story. I love it. I love it. And now your sister lives there, and you live in your dad's family's farmhouse, and it's still just a big, happy family. I love it. It's a great story.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Well,
Welcome to your new home.
Thank you.
I hope WOLD does well with the garden show, and I hope you guys have a good time doing it.
Thank you, Reich. I hope I will see you soon. I need to come see you to get some straw, so I don't know when, but I will give you a call, and we'll make some plans.
You got a deal.
Okay, thanks for calling, Reich. Have a great day.
We'll do. Bye.
Bye. He was my wingman for a few years.
I heard. I need to meet him. I need to go with you.
You've never met him?
No, I've never met him.
I find that hard to believe because we've bopped all around the state together, so I find that hard to believe. Well, Reich Sedam, I think he's about 6'4".
Wow.
Extremely handsome.
Nice.
And used to play professional football.
Very nice.
So he's big. And he's a great farmer, and he was president of Farm Bureau for quite a while. And his farm is meticulous. It is all these beautiful old buildings that have just been magnificently maintained. Each one has its own charm, and the place is beautiful. It's really, and it's right on 27, and completely surrounded by, you know, a lot of development. And
right.
When you go down Skillman Lane, and that's where Jack Otterbein is, and his Christmas tree farm. So there's a little bit of real country feel in that section. But you go across the street, you know, there's a Wawa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's right in the middle of, and it's preserved, thank God. It's preserved. They preserved it, so it's going to stay that way. Reich's a great guy, and I've known him a very long time.
Right. I've heard that you had a long, fruitful working relationship.
Yes. Yeah. So he's a great guy. And for a couple of years, he used to come in every Sunday. He just volunteered, and he sat in your chair. And you're cuter.
I don't think so, but
he was a lot of fun, and a lot of people really enjoyed having him on the air. So every once in a while, he calls in, and we still get to have some giggles on the air. So, all right, well, I should give the phone number again because we still have three open lines, and it's 908-448-0951. And I also want to give my website because you can go to the website, you can sign up or not, or you can just, you know, pop around in there. And I try to put posts on my blog about once a week with information and lots of pictures. And you can comment on what I've written, or you can send me an email and ask questions. You can do it either way. And that is Peggy, P-E-G-I, which is how I spell my name, peggygarden.com. And we just came up with this really good idea today. And the idea is that we're going to list all the sponsors. So if there's anybody that we talk about or does an ad and it tickles your fancy and you'd like more information, we're going to go home and we're going to list everything, and that'll be posted in the next couple of days. So if you don't have a pen and pencil and you want to write something down and you don't get to it, it's all going to be available on peggygarden.com. So one more time, we have three open lines, and the number is 908-448-0951, and we will be back after this.
Weekend Show with Peggy Ballister Howells continues next on 95.1 WOLD. To stay connected with Peggy in between shows, log on to her website, peggygarden.com. That's PEGIgarden.com. And be sure to bookmark it and check back often.
Okay, so last week was our first show, and Mike's Country Farm Nursery and Landscaping, which is located on the East Brunswick Milltown border on Riva Avenue, 200 Riva Avenue, we decided to go there and visit after the show, which we did, because they have seeds and trees and everything that you could need, and they have landscaping services. And we thought, you know, I mean, this is a garden show and they're advertising, so that we should go over there, right?
Right, why not pop in?
Why not pop in and meet everybody and say hi? And we had such a good time.
We did. Everybody there was so warm and welcoming.
Yeah, they really were.
It was a really cool, sweet place.
And while they have everything that you need, and they are getting more plants in all the time, because this is the time, you know, the greenhouses are kept mostly empty over the winter, which
right.
is perfectly normal, but they're getting new stuff all the time. I did pick up a really interesting variegated Siberian iris,
right.
which I haven't planted yet, but we're going to do that. We're going to do that tomorrow. But the thing that you've got to go see this thing. It's worth it just to go see this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is the passion vine.
It's incredible.
They planted this passion vine in a pot, in a container, in something. I'm not sure where it originates, but it's in the greenhouse. It's not a hardy passion vine. It's something that needs a little to be protected over the winter. Well, they strung wires up by where the ceiling would be,
mm-hmm.
and this thing is growing it's creating a ceiling of this amazing vine.
Right.
It's fabulous.
It is, and I wish I could see it in bloom.
Well, it's probably going to happen soon.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're going to keep an eye on it. But if you want to go see them, the place was really fun. It's not a huge place. It's not a big box store. It's a family place. You can get a little something to eat. They have a little deli. We'll talk about more of that in the next hour. But it was really fun and a delight to go in there and
Absolutely.
Hang out. And you got the family vibe feeling.
Yeah.
Which, being a gardener and the gardening community, is based a lot on that sense of community. They fit right in. So go see Mike's Country Market Nursery and Landscaping. And they've been around since 1980, so they're definitely doing something right. And you can call them if you want. Their number is 732-821-7144. That's 732-821-7144.
It's so easy to dismiss the possibilities of being on the receiving end of unlawful behavior. As lovers of gardening, we sometimes think that others are just like us, the salt of the earth, always amenable to helping our fellow members of the human family. Regrettably, there will always be those who prey on the naivete of homeowners who think that nothing bad will ever happen. Well, those days are over, and our friends at Elite Surveillance are here to make sure that if anyone ever tries to mess with you, they will regret it. Call 732-702-2434 to receive a free estimate on a brand new state-of-the-art camera system to cover your biggest investment, your home, your property, and your beautiful garden. Andrew Allegro and his Elite Surveillance crew are the folks to trust. And be sure to mention The Garden Show to receive a 10% discount on your same-day installation. That number again, 732-702-2434.
Honey, I made a list.
Not the honey-do list.
It's spring. It's time to clean out the junk in the garage, paint the foundation, fix the crack in the living room ceiling.
Sweetheart, rest assured.
What about the power washing in the driveway, the steps, the walkway, and doing something about that mold growing in the basement?
Lover, rest assured.
Your home is your greatest investment. When it comes time to attending to your spring honey-do list, call Rest Assured Restored at 732-781-8857. Whether it's exterior or interior painting, power washing, bathroom remodeling, replacing a floor, cleaning out your garage or attic? Rest assured, you found the help you need. Call the owner, Kelly, for a free estimate. Replace your honey-do list with a nothing-to-do-but-rest list. Call 732-981-8857. Find out more at restassuredrestored.com. And if you mention you heard about Kelly and his team on the All New Garden Show, you'll receive a 10% discount on all the services they provide. Rest Assured Restored is a proud founding sponsor of the All New Garden Show on WOLD, home of New Jersey's greatest hits.
Listening to the All New Garden Show with Peggy Ballister Howells on 95.1 WOLD. You can call Peggy now with your gardening questions at 908-448-0951. That number again is 908-448-0951. Once again, here's your host, Peggy Ballister Howells.
Welcome back to the Garden Show. I'm Peggy Ballister Howells, and I'm here with
Jordan Vitale.
Yes, my wingman. She's awesome. We have so much fun together. She is a lovely young woman.
Aww.
Well, she is. And it's like everything we do together, whether we're working hard or doing girl stuff, whatever it is, we spend most of the time laughing.
True.
And that's true, you know, and we have a really good time. And didn't you bring something today?
Oh, yeah.
Did you tell them?
Not yet, but we're about to go through it live on the air. I brought you guys some bread, some sourdough. Yeah, so that'll be nice. I hope you like it.
She is an awesome baker. She really is. So we always have a lot of fun together, and so here she is. We met because she needed magnolia leaves.
Right.
Yes, she was making some wreaths, and she put it out on Ocean Grove next door that she needed magnolia leaves, and she came and gathered the magnolia leaves off the compost pile because I had just pruned the magnolia and basically stayed. So we're going to go to the phones, and we're going to say good morning to a dear friend, Michael from Metuchen. Hey, Michael.
Hi, Peggy. How are you?
I'm good. We're getting better all the
Jordan
time.
Jordan also.
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
So, yes, things are looking up here at WOLD.
Yes. Yes, they certainly are. It's very nice to hear your voices.
So how are you doing?
I'm okay. Winter is finally going away. I always lose January and February every year because I'm not good with the cold.
Well, at least March it wasn't brutal this year.
No, which is good. Because sometimes it's worse than others. This time was bad, but not worse. So that's good. So I hear you have a question about daylight savings.
Okay. I didn't. Do we have a question that...
Andy said you had a question about something.
Well, we were wondering where you were. That was one thing, and we
See, I'm not good with computers. I wrote to you because I figured out how to do that, but then I haven't been able to get back to my computer.
I did write back. I wrote back. Did you get my?
I know because you're Alex. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Yes.
Your Alex has been helping me with this.
Oh, well, that's
good.
Which
is very nice.
Yes, okay.
And so I could do a little.
Okay.
But
hold on, Michael.
I have a complex life, yes.
Hold on. People need to know, because the gardening community is really an extended family. There's no question about it. And Alex is my lovely daughter Kira's boyfriend. And you met them when you came to the plant exchange last year. Well, Alex, as adorable as he is and as a computer savvy as he is, has a twin brother. Luckily, they wear their hair different now. When I first met them, they wore their hair the same, and you could not tell them apart. And the brother, Will, lives in Metuchen, near Michael of Metuchen. So everybody's become friends, and we hang out together. And if Alex is helping you with the computer, that's great. And like I said, one big happy family, and all because of the garden show. Right.
And hopefully I'll be able to function with computers in the next while. Because part of it is the complexity here, and part is the cold. But the cold is going away, so that means I can function better.
Well, that's good.
Because I don't do well in the winter at all. Summer is my time.
Well, when Alex comes and helps you the next time, if he can set it up to make so that you can just open up your computer and you can have a little icon right there that you just have to click on one little thing and then it
Oh, no. See, I want to be part of this world of computers. But what happened was I started getting sick in the first Monday of October of 1993. I spent 14 years getting sicker before I started to get better, and then it took years before I could do much of anything, except listen to you on the radio once in a while. But I would like to be part of this world because it's part of the, you know, of the world that's here, and it's just I'd rather learn it so I can do it for real as opposed to sort of get along in it.
Well,
that's what he's helping me with.
I appreciate that, and that makes sense because I have the same problem with my husband because he's like a computer genius and can do anything. And when I say I have a problem, he says, I'll fix it. And I'm like, I don't want you to fix it. I want you to show me how to fix it. And and sometimes he just fixes it. And then I have the problem again. And
Alex is very good with this.
He is, no doubt about it. But until you get the hang of it, there are. It's not a bad idea to learn like the easy way before you learn the hard way, because then it makes learning the hard way easier because you have more of a foundation. And if he put an icon just for now on your computer screen as soon as you open it, you would be able to click on it, and it would take you right to my website, and then it would be easy. You could look around in there and say you could even. It would be easy enough for you to figure out or for Alex to show you how to write to me or make comments on what I've written, and that would be fun for both of us.
Okay, I will try and get things better organized.
Okay, that'll be good. I'm glad that you're feeling better, and it's so nice to hear your voice.
Oh, well, I started getting better in 2007 because I spent 14 years getting sicker, so I'm a lot better.
But I meant over this
winter.
Oh, you mean
from the winter?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is, this is January and February are gone. I just can't do much of anything from the cold. But now it's March, so it's a lot better.
And March is almost over. It's almost April.
And March is almost over, right. And then soon, hopefully, and I'm talking to you on a new phone, so we won't have any of those phone problems we've had over the years.
Well, that's also good. That's great. So
that's why we haven't heard any strange clicks or whatever.
So I have a question for you, Michael.
Question away.
Okay. So you're in Metuchen, and are you listening to the radio just on the FM 95.1?
Yes. Is there another place to listen?
There's a couple different ways to listen, but it's nice to know that they can hear it in Metuchen just going to 95.1.
Where is your station?
Where are we? We're in,
Southbound Brook.
Southbound Brook. That's where we are.
Oh, that's not far from here.
No, not too far.
It's about the same distance as you were on Veronica Avenue from here.
It's
but in a different direction.
Right. And the way, as I'm learning, the different, when you're trying to figure out where the radio broadcasts to, you get a map, and somebody that knows way more about this than I do draws weird wiggles on it. And the wiggles kind of like are very strange, and they don't necessarily make any sense. It's not like they broadcast and it's a circle with a bigger circle and another. It's not like that. It's a weird wiggly bunch of lines, and it has to do with mountains and water and wind. And so one would think that it would go to Metuchen from here, but it's nice to know
it
that
is.
You can
it's
hear
a nice
it.
Clear signal.
Okay, that's good to know. That's excellent. Because it goes to places, some places that are far away that are surprising, and some places that are closer that are also surprising, it doesn't go. So it was good to get a little reinforcement that 95.1 is working in Metuchen. So that's great.
Because there are a lot of people around here, but the problem is for them to find the station.
Well,
not the station, but to find you.
Well, we're trying all kinds of things to let people know that we're here, and we're, you know, the website being one, and Sean, that is he my boss? He's something.
I'm not sure how to characterize the working relationship. I think you're kind of in parallel here.
Okay, so he's.
But he runs the station, and he does all the magic work.
He's the button man.
Yeah.
He's the button man.
He's the button manager.
The button manager. I like that even better. So Sean is the button manager, and he does other things here at the station, and he's putting other announcements on. So when people listen to the station at other times, that they are getting informed that we're here. So we're doing as many things as we can to let people know.
Good. And I got to talk to Andy.
Yes. Andy was the prime mover in all of this. Mm-hmm. He was not happy that the Garden Show was off the air. He was just as not happy as I was. And so he made the connection between the Garden Show and our new button manager. So
that's good.
So it all worked out pretty well. We couldn't have done it without him. So, all right, Michael, we have to take a little break now. So it was delightful.
It's very nice to hear both of you on the phone.
And we will
or on the radio rather.
And
right.
Well, we will be able to stay in touch now, and
yes.
That's all good. And the plant exchange is May 27th.
Still on. Good.
Yeah, it's on. We had to move it, but it's May 27th. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
That's a perfectly nice day.
All right. Well, thank you for calling. You have a great day.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Now. All right. We're going to... I'm going to give the phone number real quick. 908-448-0951. We'll be back after this.
This is the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballester Howells. We'll take more of your calls next on 95.1 WOLD, home of New Jersey's greatest hits. The call-in line is 908-448-0951. That's 908-448-0951.
Thrivent is a proud sponsor of WOLD 95.1 and the all-new Garden Show with me, Peggy Ballester Howells. Thrivent believes money is a tool, not a goal. Financial representative Amy Nichols will work with you to create a financial strategy that reflects your priorities and helps you protect things that matter most to you, like family and giving back. Amy can be reached at 610-871-3456, or you can visit her website at connect.thrivent.com/Amy-Nichols. Now that's a lot, and if you can't write it all down right now, I will be putting it on my website, peggygarden.com, so you'll be able to get this information. But I have met Amy, and I have become friends with Amy, and if you want somebody that you feel safe with and comfortable with, that's kind and really has your best interest at heart, give Amy a call, because she's a delightful human being, and I know her personally, so I can say that she's good people.
I can too.
Yeah, she's good people. Okay, so we'll be back after this.
Hello, everyone. This is Andy from South River and a part of the Garden Show staff. I have been going to Eric and his team at Mobile One Lube Express for 9 years. I can tell you firsthand that if you need an oil change, or you need a bulb replace, or heck, what if you don't want to wait in that insufferable line to get your car inspected? You can visit Eric and his team at Mobile One Lube Express in Edison, and I will assure you, you will be happy you did. They make you feel like family. Mobile One Lube Express, across from the ShopRite in Edison, 732-253-8100. And they're open 7 days a week and open until 8 p.m. on Wednesday. Mobile One Lube Express. Ladies and gentlemen, it's spring. And what are the chances you'll be hearing this sound? There is no need to pull your arm out of your socket. Gary is the small engine specialist, and he is your one stop for lawnmower repair and maintenance. And no more figuring out how you'll get your lawnmower to where it needs to be repaired. Gary offers pickup and delivery and can diagnose most issues right there at your home. And whether it's your lawnmower, edger, blower, power washer, generator, or snowblower, Gary is your man to call. Call 917-807-3901. And be sure to mention the All New Garden Show to receive lawnmower blade sharpening at no extra charge. That's Gary, the small engine specialist, 917-807-3901. Gary is a proud founding sponsor of the All New Garden Show with Peggy Ballester Howells on WOLD, the home of New Jersey's greatest hits.
Now, back to more of the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballester Howells on 95.1 WOLD. To reach Peggy, give us a call now at 908-448-0951. That number again is 908-448-0951. Once again, here's your host, Peggy Ballester Howells.
Welcome back to the Garden Show. I'm Peggy Ballester Howells, and I'm here with
Jordan Vitale,
my wingman. So we're going to go right to the phones, and we're going to chat with an old friend, Sue from Edison. Hey, Sue.
Hello, Peggy. Hello, Jordan. Hi, good morning. Sue. How are you?
Good to be back. Good to be back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's the right time of year. I'm looking at all my daffodils. My azaleas are out, and the cherry blossom tree is out. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
No, seriously, we were doing research in the car on the way up here
right. About
the Cherry Blossom Festival that goes on at Branch Brook Park. Do you know about that one?
Oh, no, I don't. At Branch Brook Park?
Yes,
yeah.
It's in Newark, and it's amazing. I have been there. Whole family went there once. They have, I think, the largest collection of cherry trees in the world.
No kidding. More than Washington?
More than Washington. Blossom? Yes, they have more than Washington. And the park has a great history, and it came together from, it's not all in Newark. Some of it's in Belleville, I think. And you have some information?
Yeah, actually. Branch Brook Park has the largest and most varied collection of flowering cherry blossom trees in a park within the United States.
Oh, just the United States, not the world, sorry.
Wow.
But I did read they have over 5,200 trees.
That's incredible.
Oh, wow. So this is it. This is the season.
Yes.
This is it.
And
wow.
It's really quite beautiful. And they have all kinds of events, too. I was a little worried that, I mean, isn't their festival like from the 1st to the 16th, isn't that?
Right, that's correct.
I was a little worried that they were going to bloom too soon. But
yeah.
I think maybe they'll kind of peter out by the 16th because they are getting started a little early. But
this has been open a couple weeks already, if not more. It did open earlier.
Yes,
it usually opens.
But I think it'll still be worth going to see during that time. But there's nothing to stop you from walking around and looking at the trees now. You don't have to wait till the festival thing. You can just go.
Oh, wow.
But it is really beautiful. It's unbelievable. There's just so many. It's a lovely walk, a lovely place to go and, you know, maybe have a little picnic-y kind of thing. But it's really beautiful. So thank you for reminding me.
Well, I'll tell you, since it's the season, my gardener came and put mulch on everything. He mulched everything. And I was looking at the fig tree thinking, I have not fertilized it. It's 23 years old. And I bought some off Amazon, fiddle leaf fig plant food. It's a 16-5-11. When would I do that? And does that sound like the right numbers?
Fiddle leaf fig?
Yeah, fiddle leaf fiddle leaf fig plant food. This is my big outside fig tree. It does produce about 120 figs every summer, but I think it needs to be fed. I really do. I think it needs some fertilizer, and I'm wondering when, and does that sound right?
It's no.
For indoor Anna.
Fiddle leaf fig is a really cool ornamental plant that doesn't produce fruit. So fiddle leaf fig, it produces a leaf sort of shaped like a fiddle, which is why it's called. It's narrow on one end and then gets wider on the other end, and it's a big thing, the size of us. Maybe even a small violin, right? I mean,
like the leaves, a little viola.
Yeah, like they're really. But they don't produce fruit. So anything that produces fruit, I would be a little hesitant to recommend that high of a nitrogen fertilizer because.
So it'll stimulate the green growth.
Yes, and it will inhibit flower formation and possibly fruit development. So.
Gee, I did a search in Amazon. This kept coming up, and it said for indoor and outdoor figs. So that's wrong.
Indoor and outdoor figs, but not necessarily fruit producing. There's a gazillion kinds of figs. So, you know. And
what number do I need for an outdoor fig tree?
I would just use a little 5-10-10. Just, you know, just a little boost. Or a little 10-10-10. That would be okay. But you don't want to use anything with that gigantic first number.
Oh, they have misinformation over there saying it's for. I thought somebody said they used it on their outdoor blooming fig tree, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to ruin it because I enjoy those fig. We eat them.
I'm sure you do. Yeah, I would just say you want to. That high a number, you can also burn them. So you want to be careful.
Oh no, that's no good.
Yeah.
And when would you do this? Like when? After they're blooming or before? Right before or?
At 12:01.
I could do it now?
Yeah. Getting fertilizer down before the new growth comes out gets the fertilizer into the root system and helps it really burst forth with, like, renewed energy. So you want to get it down early. Yeah, late March, early April is a good time to fertilize everything out there that needs to be fertilized. All your ornamentals. You want to give it the fertilizer so that it has it available, not just on the ground, on the surface, but in the ground and able to be taken up by the plant in time for the new growth so that it gets that surge of energy when it really needs it.
I see. I don't get the first blooming because it's so big, nobody can wrap it, really. I guess my gardener could. He doesn't want to, and I don't want to climb anymore. So I get the second blooming, which would be the end of August, for a couple months. It gives off tons of fruit. But I feel like I really need to fertilize it a little this year, so I could do it right now.
Yes. Well, at 12:01.
Okay.
Listen, we're about to take another break, Sue, so we have to go. Anything I can do real quick?
Real quick, would this be appropriate for Diffenbachia? This one with the green 16-5-11?
Yes, but real light. Anything with no flowers and anything real light. You'd want to do it real light. You don't want to put a heavy application on.
Excellent.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Delightful.
Thank you, Peg. Thank
Delightful
you, Jordan.
To hear your voice
bye.
Again.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye
thank
now.
Thank you.
We'll be back after this.
More of the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballister Howells continues next on 95.1 WOLD. To stay connected with Peggy in between shows, log on to her website, peggygarden.com. That's PEGIGarden.com. And be sure to bookmark it and check back often. WPRB HD3 Princeton.